Matthew 28, verses 18. Are you there? Matthew 28, verse 18. Let's put our hands together, our Father. Our Father, thank you for a time like this. We thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you because we receive insight from your word. As we look into your word, we behold Christ as he sees us in himself. We ask and we receive, declaring that there's no error in this atmosphere. Clarity comes to our mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, Jesus came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when he says, go make disciples. Make disciples of every nation. Now, that is the word we say is matitio. First of all, we said something last week. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We said that word heaven and on earth is a Moses word, right? Heaven and on earth is Moses' language. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. It's Moses' language, heaven and earth. And we said the word heaven and earth is a shorthand for the new creation. Right? The shorthand for the new creation. Heaven and earth. We don't have a shorthand or long hand, right? Hallelujah. It's a shorthand for the new creation. That is heaven and earth in the same place. Glory to God. That's what we said, right? We said heaven and earth in the same place. That's what Moses writes about. Hallelujah. So, did you get that? So, it's the new creation. So, when Moses uses the word heaven and earth, it means heaven and earth in the same location. Heaven being on earth. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Heaven and earth in the same place. And whenever you find heaven and earth in the same verse, heaven and earth together like that, it implies amongst men. And we say that amongst men is among the believers. Right? Hallelujah. And that's what Moses writes about. Hallelujah. That brings about the tabernacle of Moses. Do you understand me? To our minds. Heaven and earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we are discussing on the spirit within and spirit of God, right? So heaven and earth in the same place, which is God and man in the same location. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. So Jesus, we'll find Jesus in the four Gospels. All his explanations are explanations of the Old Testament writings. Hallelujah. So when he says heaven and earth, and remember we said the words of Christ are explanations of the Old Testament. We said that earlier, right? While discussing temptations, trials, and persecutions. Hallelujah. I'm Mr. Tribute out this evening. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it says, all authority. So that means the authority of Christ, when it says, has been given to me in heaven and on earth, it implies the authority of Christ is the indwelling of the Spirit. Because heaven and earth implies the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. That is being born again. So when you hear the indwelling of the Spirit or the new creation, what comes to mind is the indwelling of the Spirit within. That's what we've been discussing on. The Spirit within. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when he says all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, he's saying the authority of Christ is in the believer. So the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Spirit of God is the authority of the believer. Is the authority of Christ in the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prior to this time, what they could have What they had in Luke, what they had before now was delegated authority.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what they had was delegated authority. Because the authority was in Christ.
But now the authority is with the believer. Glory to God. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, in the believer.
Glory to God. And he said, go make disciples. Matitio. It implies the act of bringing or raising scholars. That word matitio is used for how scholars are raised. How scholars are raised. You find that in Acts 14 verse 21. Matthew 13 52. Matthew 27 verse 57. Make disciples. And we're looking at the fact all through last for the past 3 weeks. We've been talking about the fact that disciples are raised how? Via teaching, right? And very vital, teaching them to observe that he dwells in them, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now we say disciples are raised via teaching. And that is, and via teaching, the disciple learns how to teach, right? Disciples learn Christ didache. Was that what we said? He learns Christ's mode of explaining the Old Testament. He learns Christ's didache. Hallelujah. The disciple learns Christ's didache. Hallelujah. And also very vital, the disciple was always observe, terio, always observe that Christ didn't get out of the world. Christ didn't check out of the earth. Christ dwells in the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He dwells in the believer. So we saw that when a man believes the gospel, the Spirit of God dwells in him. John chapter 14. Let's look at John 14. John 14. Verses 18 to 20. He says, and I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Hallelujah. When will this happen? We'll see that shortly. Say, a little while longer, the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you live also. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because I live, you live also. Glory to God. So the man who is, you know, when he says, I live, you live also. You know, that brings to mind Exodus 33. That brings to mind Exodus 33. Moses, when God said to him, you shall not yet see my face, say, for shall no man see my face and not live. For shall no man see my face and not live. What is he saying? Then when a man sees his face, what happens? He comes back alive. Chaye. Hallelujah. Chaye rather. He comes back alive. Hallelujah. So he says, I live, you shall live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He talks about this resurrection. Say, shall no man see my face and not live. So when a man believes the gospel, he comes back alive. Glory to God. No man comes alive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is why Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 said, we were once dead in our trespasses. You know what I mean? So a man who is not born again is dead in sin. But the moment he believes the gospel, oh glory to God, he comes back alive. Hallelujah. He becomes dead to sin. Did you get that? Did you get that? Hallelujah. But before he gets to know the gospel, he's dead in sin. But once he receives the gospel and believes, hallelujah, once he believes the gospel preached to him, he becomes alive, glory to God, and dead to sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So verse 20, he said, at that day you will know I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. When you use that word, at that day or in that day. He said, in that day you will know. But he said, in that day, what does it mean? It means in the day he will come to you. So you just go back to verse 18.
Take note of that. In that day, what is that day? I will come to you. Verse 18. Glory to God. So that day will be the day of his resurrection. And the day of his resurrection implies the day of the new birth. So in the new birth, glory to God. Hallelujah. In the new birth, when a man believes the gospel, what does Jesus say? In that day you will know I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Identification. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus uses the word in that day, it's the same word when he says in his hour. So Jesus' day is Jesus' hour. Who said this before? John chapter 2. John chapter 2. The wedding at Cana. Verses 2. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Jesus went to the wedding. Hallelujah. Verse 3. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Very interesting. Jesus went for a wedding. He was not the officiating pastor. Neither was there an officiating pastor. Hallelujah. Verse 3. And they ran out of wine. And the mother said to him, they have no wine. Now look at Jesus. Jesus says to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. Now Jesus uses the word my hour. Now take note, when the mother says they have no wine, remember I told you how Jesus responds, or how Jesus responds to questions, right? Have you said that before? Who said that? Hallelujah. How Jesus will use events, things, and words to explain his redemptive work, right? Just in chapter 1 before, just if you read down, I said chapter 1, just if you go down to verse 16, he got to the temple. And what did he do? He whipped out all what they had on the tables. I'm being careful not to say money changers. You know what? Because people will not say he beats the money changers. He beats people. He didn't beat anyone. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't beat anyone. So he whipped out all those things that he sold in the temple. Hallelujah. He took them out. And you know, why they came at him, what did he say? He said, make not my Father's house. Right? For Mark's account, we say, a place of, a den of thieves. Make it not a den of thieves. John will say, make it not a place of merchandise. Hallelujah. In verses 21, and then he said, destroy this temple and waste it up. That is verse 19. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then verse 21, they now said, but this he was speaking of the temple of his body. So what was he doing? Hallelujah. Look at what John said. At his resurrection, they now knew that he was talking about the temple of his body. But why would he do that? He did that thing. He used the physical temple to point to what he's going to do. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? He was a dead man. An event that points to a greater event. We look at that in a greater glory. Hallelujah. A present event or an event or something that points to something greater. Hypodegma. Hallelujah. So Jesus was talking to them about the temple of his body. He walks into the physical temple. And what did he do? He threw away what? Those who sold, traded those things that have been sold in the temple. The same way to the mother said, there is no wine. Now, when the mother said that, the mother was telling him there is no physical wine. But in reality, you know, that no physical wine was not reality. Hallelujah. But in reality, man was without wine. Yes, hallelujah. Humanity lacks wine. What is the wine? Man was without the Spirit of God. Are you hearing me? So Jesus uses that wine. How does Jesus use wine? Did you get that? Hallelujah. So man was without wine. So what did Jesus say? He said, woman. You know, where you are from, this part of the world, you don't call your mother woman. Try it. The slap you will receive will resound for the rest of your life.
Hallelujah. He said, woman, what is your concern to do with me?
There's some people say, go and beg your mother. When you meet the mother, he will tell it to the son. That's nonsense. Now, when Jesus now says, because Jesus' hour has not come for miracles. So therefore, he's not talking about miracles here. He says, my hour is not yet come. Not hour for miracles. Are you hearing me? If it were to be hour for miracles, he wouldn't have done it. But my hour is not yet come. He's talking about the resurrection, when man can now receive that new wine.
Do you get that? So he said, my hour, meaning the hour for the resurrection is not yet come.
Hallelujah. Because at the resurrection, the Spirit of God will now indwell man, the man who believes. Hallelujah. And that will happen in the resurrection. So when the mother said, they are with no wine, they were really without wine. Humanity was without the Spirit of God. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus' hour will be what? His resurrection. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is with the woman at the well. Verse 21. Are you in verse 21?
Yes.
Now they began talking about worship, a place of worship. And Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Hallelujah. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. Let's say salvation is of the Jews. This salvation comes from the Jews. Hallelujah. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, where the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. But the Father seeks such to worship him. When he said the hour is coming, he's talking about this resurrection. Are you with me? Glory to God. What will happen in the resurrection? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So let's go back to John chapter 14. So when he said, in that day, he's referring to the new birth. Hallelujah. The resurrection. This is why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12 will now say, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Why? Because the spirit of God dwells in us. So Paul will now say, we receive not the spirit of the world. Why? Because John chapter 14 verse 18 to 20 says he will indwell us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in verse 16 it shows us it's by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? It's by the Holy Ghost. So therefore, Paul will not say we have received, where in the new birth, the spirit that is of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have received the Spirit of God. In chapter 3, verse 16, he will say that we are his temple. Chapter 6, verse 19, we are his temple. The Spirit of God dwells in us. So, we are the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the new birth is the indwelling of the Spirit in man. The new birth is the indwelling of the Spirit in the man who believes. This is the Spirit within. And we also said the Spirit within is the inward witness. Was that what we said last week? That is the inward witness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Spirit within is the inward witness. That is why we said we are what? We are well led, right? Was that what we said? The believer is well led from within.
Jesus in John 8, verse 12,
he will say, He that believes, he that follows him will not walk in darkness. Hallelujah. But will have the light of life, the fullness of life. Hallelujah. The direction. That's the light for direction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are, the believer is well led. And we said the spirit within the believer, the spirit of God in the believer, the spirit of God or the spirit of the new recreated man is well educated, is well knowledgeable as regards the things of God. But it is our mind, our perception that needs to be educated as regards the things of the spirit or the leading of the spirit. It's our minds that need to be educated. We say the believer does not have direction problem. The believer does not have power issues. The believer does not have authority problem. If there will be any gap or any problem, it will be what? Knowledge based. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the spirit of the spirit within the believer is well knowledgeable about the leading of the spirit. Hallelujah. He's well led. Is well led. So the man in Christ is well led. I would say the Spirit of God, listen, the Spirit of God does not suggest. I want you to take note of this. The Spirit of God does not suggest to us. Say, you know, I don't know which one is the Spirit of God. I used to hear two voices. It's, none of them is the Spirit of God. I hear you. None of them is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God does not suggest to us. Does not give an opinion. No, the Spirit of God does not give us an opinion. The Spirit of God will speak as Christ, and Christ speaks absolutely. The Spirit of God is you know, the Spirit of God speaks to us absolutely. It drowns any form of doubt. Hallelujah. You know, the job is saying, I don't know which one is my mind telling me. I have two voices. My mind is telling me, I guess it's my mind. Once you begin to guess, it's not the Spirit of God. None of it is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And we said the primary way the Spirit of God leads us, or the primary way God leads us, is via what? The written word. Right? The written word. And the written word well explained, not out of context. Well explained, contextually read, is the leading of God's Spirit. Do you understand? Is God's leading. So when a believer is telling you, I don't know if it is the Spirit of God, it is not the Spirit of God. Do you understand me? Because as a child of God, when you receive the leading of the Spirit, there will be no fear. There will be no hearsay, yesay. There will be no double mind. I don't know if it is the Spirit. It's like a small thing where Satan, you know this Sunday school, whatever, that Satan comes and talks to us, do it. You know, God will just be calm. That's song, don't do it.
Do it.
Don't do it.
Do it.
Don't do it.
Do it.
You know? So inside of you is Satan. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it's not the Spirit of God. Never. I say never. It's not the Spirit of God. 100%. And I just said 99.9. 100%. None of it is the Spirit of God. It's just your mind playing with information you've had. Are you hearing me? Is your mind playing with the information you have? If the Spirit of God beats you to go somewhere, you will hear it clearly. There will be no maybe. It will be clear. Hallelujah. Now, something else I wanted to point out. It was laid in my spirit to share this today as we proceed. Is on the fact that in the leading of God's Spirit, the Spirit of God will not lead you outside the scriptures. You see, very important. Once you're leading, you need to get this now. You see, in as much as I tell believers to hold on to the leading of to what God speaks to them or tells them about, listen, one way you become intelligent in the things of the Spirit is to be able to let go of what your mind, what is your mind? When you have scriptures that front what you have.
Should I break it out? Do you understand what I'm saying? For example,
you are embarking, I don't want to use that now. Use it 20 years from now.
I have it. So, okay, let's say you are led by the Spirit of God, for example. Let me use it for one that is so ashamed, that you have something to see.
Yes, the Spirit of God is telling me I should not be preaching the gospel again. Have you heard people say that? That they have been called to shepherd the flock. I've heard someone say that. Say, no, I'm not a pastor. I was in school, I called somebody that in school. I called it because you are just a prefect in fellowship. I have to say that. Okay, just ordinary president. You stop. Okay, let me say this. First, I'm being led not to fast again. That my ministry is like the ministry of Jesus. So the ministry of Jesus' disciples. I read that. That we don't fast again. You know, it's those who are with John that were fasting. Jesus' disciples were fasting. See point. I once wanted to defend that before, that point. But thank God, I quickly ran away. Now, say we don't fast. Well, listen to this. And I can show you scriptures that shows us that the lifestyle of a believer is fasting. Do you understand? It's fasting. You should be ready to let go of what you, because you automatically you now know that it was your mind. Do you understand? Or I'm being led not to join the local church. You know it's not the Spirit of God. But because you were not with the right information, you were thinking it was the Spirit of God, right? But when I can show you that the local church is God's plan for the earth, is God's plan, do you understand me? For mankind, you should be ready to let that go. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? Inasmuch as I say, that you hold on to the leading of God's Spirit. But once the leading of God's Spirit you have is in. You know, when it comes to the leading of the God's Spirit, nobody is an expert in it. Hope you know that. Nobody is a guru in it. Nobody will say, I know the leading of God's Spirit forever and ever. No. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not a specialty. But he was ready to let go of those things that are not in conformity with the scripture. More so when you have 2 to 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 10 witnesses. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God said we should be doing water baptism in this church. The Spirit of God. I receive it in my spirit. You will be eating on living bread. And guess it up. It's holy communion. You get? And you are just being taught on the scriptures. And you looked at it and said, no, that cannot be. Did you get that? You must be ready to let that go. Are you following me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. Because when you look at it from the scripture, you discover that it was actually your mind and what you've seen that will just be clouding your thoughts. I hear me. Glory to God. Every born again child of God is led by the Spirit. Every born again child of God is led by the Spirit. What's the born again child of God? So every born again or every child of God is led by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that is why the believer must always renew his mind. Don't be strong. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't allow the world to squeeze into his mold. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Let's look at something immediately. Luke chapter 24. Let's look at what Jesus told his disciples before he left. Luke 24. The Spirit of God lives in us. Hallelujah. Luke 24. Verse 44. He says, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding, right? That they might understand the scriptures. Are you with me? And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, look at what he said. He says, verse 49, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power on high. Now Jesus, in verse 49, is speaking about the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. Now the question is, before now, were they born again? How the first question we should ask. Because we need to get that clear. Were they born again before now, before he made this statement? Were they born again? Glory to God. The answer to that, if you are thinking whether they were born again, that means you've not been attending meetings for years. Okay, for the past 1 year plus. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Because I said this last year, and I've been saying it this year. Right? Were they born again? Yes, they were. They were born again. Look at verse 45. He says, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. How did that happen? Via teaching. Right? Now when he says he opened their understanding, that word open their understanding signifies their believing. Believing the scriptures. So, when he says, and he opened their understanding, remember I said it's via teaching, right? You read verse 32, he says, didn't our hearts burn within us when he opened to us the scriptures? Hallelujah. Did our heart burn within us? You understand? That was, they were convinced, they believed. You understand me? Hallelujah. Now verse 44 is very critical. And he opened their understanding. He opened their thinking. That's what it means. He opened their thinking that they might comprehend. They were comprehended. It was sunema. Hallelujah. That is to bring together all what he has been talking to them. Hallelujah. So Luke 24, 45 is Luke's summary of what Jesus did for 40 days. That is, for that 40 days, what did Jesus do? He opened their understanding. Did you get that? He opened their understanding. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Ha ha. That is a summary of what Jesus did. He opened their understanding. He opened their belief system. That word understanding there is one's thinking, one's belief system. He opened their understanding that they might believe, understand the scripture, that they might comprehend the scriptures. So it is within Luke 24:45 that they believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In John chapter 20, look at John's account. From verse 21. From verse 19, he said, he came to them and said, peace be with you. And verse 20, and then he said, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Verse 21. And Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father I sent me, send I. This was not what Jesus was doing for 40 days. You know, this is just maybe
Do you understand this? Jesus was not coming to them and says, "Peace be with you, as my Father sent me, send you." No. Do you understand this? This is a summary. Hallelujah. Now this is Jesus' words. Peace be with you, right? As the Father sent me, send you. Then he spoke to them. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2. Then when he said this, he blessed on them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that is verse 22 is John's summary of 40 days. John will call it what he breathed on them. Luke will say he opened their understanding. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. When he said he breathed upon them, the Greek word used means to quicken from inside. Hallelujah. That's the Greek word, to quicken from within. So that breathing on them is John using a figure of speech to show what happened to them. So John will use that word breath figuratively to show what happened to them. Hallelujah. But look, in Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 40, showed us that it was teaching for 40 days. Did you see that? So that breathing is a figure of speech to show teaching. Because that word breath is to quicken from within. Ephesal. To quicken from within. To quicken from within. Are you listening to me? So that word is not... No. That word is to quicken from within. And that happens when teaching. Now, if you take John 20:22 and put it side by side with Luke 24:32, you'll see that it is teaching. Do you understand this? Hallelujah. Didn't that have born within us when they opened to us the scriptures? Meaning it was teaching session. So it was a teaching session. I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Take note of that. Glory to God. So, when did they believe? When Jesus taught them the word, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, that word that their hearts born within them and he breathed on them is a sign or is it shows that they were convinced. Do you understand me? That is, they believed. It shows their belief. So, in verse 49 of Luke 24, let's go back to verse 49 of Luke 24. When Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father," we have established the fact that they were born again, right? Now, let me now put a spine inside your weave. Let me put a spine inside your way. Should I put a spine or a spanner? Question. Jesus was with them, right? Right? When you believe the gospel, what happens? The Holy Spirit dwells in you, right? And Jesus said, "I will come to you." So he's coming to you, he's the indwelling of the Spirit, right? Did they receive the Spirit when Jesus was there? No, it's not his coming. His going is his coming. Not his coming. Don't change it. It is going that is coming to our heart. And that coming is not coming to come and meet with them for 40 days. He's the indwelling of the Spirit. So what now? He's talking to them. He's teaching them. They believe. So where is the Spirit of God? Is in them. Aha. So we are on the same page. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he was talking to them, and yet he was in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aha. Glory to God. So when in verse 50,
2, when they were rejoicing, they were not rejoicing that he has not entered them. No, they were rejoicing because what? He is with them, and he has been with them what? Since they believed, right? You know, they were not rejoicing that he has left yet. No, because he had just told them, "Lo, I am with you always." Do you understand? He had told them, "I've been with you." So why not tell them, "Say, I am with you. I am in you." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember when Jesus resurrected, Mary came to the tomb and he sent them. That's John chapter 2. That should be John chapter 20. Now, John 20. Verses 17. Verse 16. And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. And he said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." He said, "Rather, go to my brethren." When he said, "I have not yet ascended to my Father," we explored this during this is that. Hallelujah. When he says, "I have not yet ascended to my Father," what does it mean? When he said, "Cling, do not touch me." Remember, we've explained that. It's not, "Do not touch me, so that you will not, I will not spoil redemption work." You know, I preached that years back. Hallelujah. Say, if you touch him, everything has been working, all the 33 and a half years is gone. How can? Okay, you have the tape. No, you can't delete the tape. You know, you can't have the tape. You can't have the CD. Do we have a CD for that?
No, sir.
Mind yourself, sure I am.
Hallelujah. But I still have the message. I can play it anyway. Glory to God.
So he said, "If you touch that should be which message is that? The priestly ministry of the believer, right? I will teach that priestly ministry again. I will change it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, "If you touch," right, "you spoil the redemption." Now, I've told you it is not touching. In fact, that word used shows that Mary Magdalene turned and said, "Rabboni," he grabbed him. And then, so he now said, "Do not touch me." What it means, "Do not touch me," it means, "Do not touch me any further." And he, don't do. Okay, don't do. Do you understand? Glory to God. If we were to have a pigeon Bible, that's what you say, don't do. 17. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." Now when he said ascended to my Father, what does it mean? You know, that is where that belief of he wants to carry his blood will enter ground. We're not going to carry the blood. And I have not yet gone to clean where you are staying in heaven. Right? Yeah? That is what we get to have when we listen to too many. You have too many. So, we want to carry blood to heaven. And I say, "Father, here's the blood offering of myself." So, he's both the high priest and the Lamb. He carries his blood. Right? No. Glory to God. When he said, "I have not yet ascended to my Father," what he's saying to Magdalene, Mary, is, "I have not yet indwelled man." And then we explore that, right? When I have not yet ascended. Remember, ascended to my Father. Now, we would explore that. I'm very sure it's part of what we are looking at this year. Now, when I say, "I have not yet ascended to my Father." Now, where will the Father be? In man. So when he says, "I have not yet ascended to my Father," he brings back John chapter 14 again. You have to go back to John 14, verses 20 and verses 23. Do you understand? You go back there. "In that day, you would know I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." He's talking about the indwelling. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Back to Luke. Why am I coming to John? Luke
We're supposed to round up today, but it's not looking so.
Luke 24.
It's not looking so at all.
You know, we went after today's message. We were thinking last week. We not went there last week's message. Luke 24, verse 49.
He says, "But I send the promise of my Father upon you." So, when we say the promise of the Father, remember we just concluded that the Spirit of God was already indwelling them. Right? Right? Now, is this the ascending to the Father that he spoke about in John 20:16 to Mary Magdalene? Luke 24:44. Is that the ascending to the Father that he spoke to Mary Magdalene about? Yes. Right? Right? Aha. Glory to God. So now let's look at this. Now he has said that. Then he now said, "I send the promise of the Father upon you." But I thought the promise of the Father was indwelling of the Spirit. I would just continue with my notes.
We'll get to look at that in promised land.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, when he speaks about the promise of the Father, he uses the word, "but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued." So he uses the word "endued" with power from on high. So that word "endued" is from the Greek word "enduo." E-N-D-U-O-O. Enduo. It implies to put on. Enduo means to put on. That word to put on shows man's effort. It shows man's effort. So the putting on is man's work.
Say, "Behold, I send you the promise of the Father."
Say, "But tarry here in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So the promise of the Father is the word "power from on high," right? So he said, "Till you are endued." Now, the use of that word "endure" shows that it is till you put on power from on high. Did you get that? So it's till you put on power from on high. Hallelujah. That's the word "endure." It shows a man's effort, a man's work, what one would do. When we use the word "on high," on high, that "on high" does not mean from heaven. Does not mean from the skies.
In fact, you can't even make the mistake to use heaven. Hallelujah. Because you already know. Hallelujah.
Now, is this the word "on high"? Which is from the sky. I mean, does not mean from the sky. So what is on high then?
Hallelujah. When you hear the word "on high," does not mean it's coming from the sun or from the cloud, like where it comes from. No. Hallelujah. So let's look at that word from on high. That word "on high."
In Ephesians chapter 1, quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 16 into verses 19. Let's just take it to chapter 2. Let's go. Verse 16. Do not cease to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, that is revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes to the end, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Jesus, or in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him on his right hand in the heavenly," or in the heavenly, right? That word "places" is italicized, right? "Say, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominions and every name that is named, not just in this world, but in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and give him to be the head over all things, so the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, and you he made alive, who were once dead in trespasses and in sins." Now, where is Christ in all this? He's seated where? On high. Right? Right? Okay? He said, in which you once walked, chapter 2, verse 2, once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience, whom among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by children, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, and when we were dead in trespass, did you see? Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. One thing is that Christ is seated on high, right? We are seated in him on high. Hallelujah. Or we are in him on high. So the on high will be where Christ is seated. The on high will be where Christ is seated. And where Christ is seated is in the believer. That means the on high speaks of the spirit within. You get that? So the on high is within. Is within. The on high speaks of where Jesus is. And where is he? In us. Hallelujah. So where he is where God is where we are. Where? In the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the on high is in the believer, is the indwelling of the Spirit. So let's go back to Luke chapter 24. So when Jesus said, "See, you be and you will pass from on high," it speaks about what? Within the believer. So it has to do with what is within. Hallelujah. Let's see how Luke will put it in the book of Acts. It's still Luke. So he explains into the book of Acts. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, written by Luke, brother Luke. Verse 4. Acts 1:4. Look at what Luke said. He says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." Is it the same thing with Luke 24? Yes, right? For the promise of the Father, whether with the Holy Spirit? Yes. Right? Do they have the Holy Spirit indwelling them? Yes. Okay? "Which he said, you have heard from me." Who did they hear it from? From John. Look at verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Therefore, when he had come to..." "You will be baptized." He uses the word in Acts. He uses the word to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Right? Look at verse 8. He said, "But you shall receive power." Yeah, they came asking him, "Where will you be at this time restored to the kingdom of God?" And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know." Then verse 8 now said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is Luke saying? Luke just showed us that the promise of the Father. He explained the promise of the Father as to be baptized with the Holy Ghost from John's prophecy. Hallelujah. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Acts of Apostles chapter 1 is not the new birth. Rather, in verses 8, it calls it what? The Spirit upon. I'll take that again. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not the new birth. Rather, in verse 8, he calls the Spirit upon you. In describing this, he says you will receive power. Do you see that? You will receive power in describing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. We've not yet ended up last week. Lord, your glory fills this atmosphere. We must finish today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at that verse 8. He said, you shall receive power. Now, using the word you shall receive power, it also shows your effort.
That word receive is the Greek word lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N-O.
Lambano. It implies to take what is available to you. To take.
You shall receive lambano. You will take what is available to you.
So what Luke is saying, or what Jesus said, is you will take of what is available unto you. Do you understand me? That is what he calls the Spirit upon. That's what he calls the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Jesus has been saying in Luke 24:49.
This is what Jesus has said in Luke 24:49. You will take it of it. When he uses the word endure, you are the one to put on, right? In Acts of Apostles, also saw he said, uses the word lambano. Yes, I'm your what you think. You think of what is available to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very important. When he said the Spirit coming upon you, is not actually coming from the skies, but from within.
Do you understand what he says? Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endured with power from on high. It means power from within. The on high is within. We extend the on high to be what? From within, right?
You see, we use the word endure, what you put on. We look at the word lambano to take up what is available to you. So where is it available? Within. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at Peter. In Acts 2. Now, that day has fully come.
Hallelujah.
Now, the Spirit came upon them. Right? We saw that, right? The Spirit came upon them. And we want to see something. Hallelujah. Right? We are trying to look at it so that you understand. The Spirit came upon them, right? You can't be confident. Did the Spirit come upon them? It came upon them. Right? Look at verse 17. Peter is explaining. Look at Peter's explanation. We'll get to look at it as we continue. He says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Now he's explaining. Verse 17. So Peter is explaining what happened to them in from verse 1 to verses 11. To verses 13, sorry. Now, I'll start with verse 13. But Peter standing up with the 11 raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed to my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, because they said they were drunk, since it is only by the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions. So Peter calls it, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. So Peter calls it to pour out of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what did Peter say? That's what happened in Acts of Apostles chapter 2 from verse 1 to 13. He calls it the pouring of the Spirit. Or pouring out of the Spirit. And where is the Spirit? Within. Did you see that? Where is the Spirit? Within. The Spirit of God is not in the sky. It's already within them. Hallelujah. It's already in them. Did you get that? The Spirit of God is already in them. So what Peter is explaining is, what you see happening is we take it of the Spirit. Do you understand me? Upon. So the Spirit upon is the Spirit, or taking of the Spirit within upon. You are wearing it from within out. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is taking of the Spirit within upon. What Peter just explained. Is taking of the Spirit within upon. I'll put it out to that. It's the demonstration of the Spirit within upon. Hallelujah. We just summed it up last week. Message. So let's continue for this week. Hallelujah.
Welcome to service today.
Are you blessed? Matthew 28, verse 19. Welcome to service.
You
God.
Matthew 19. We shall finish. Hallelujah. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So when Jesus uses the word go make disciples, it means go enroll men into school. Hallelujah. And one way you will enroll men, or one thing that they must observe or they must do, is what? They must observe. You teach them, or they must always observe that He dwells in them. Is the present forever reality of the believer. Is the believer's present forever reality. That the Spirit of God dwells in them. Hallelujah. Very important, the Spirit of God is in the believer. And the Spirit of God in the believer is why we say the believer is well led. Hallelujah. So the believer or the disciple is taught the way I'm teaching you. Hallelujah. You are taught to know that God does not dwell in temples of made with bricks. God dwells in your heart. God does not dwell on altar. What is that? Shrine, right? God does not dwell in a brick. God does not dwell in a pillar. He does not dwell in temple with this meant. God dwells in your heart. Hallelujah. So, Paul will now write in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, he said, you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, you will receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God. So the believer has the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And the Spirit and the believer is well led, because the Spirit of God is the inward witness. Romans chapter 8. He said the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So material. The Spirit bears witness, is a joint witness. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And he did get up that we are children of God, rather. He said, if children and heirs. So the Spirit bears witness. That word bears witness in the Greek word some material. It means a joint testimony. A joint, you know what I mean? So the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That is the inward witness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we said the believer is well led. It's well led. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So where we stop, where we stopped, we continue. Glory to God. Now, we are not discussing this thing. We said the believer is well led. The Spirit of God speaks absolutely. It drowns fear, doubts, right? Right? We said that too, right? And we said we are led by, or the written word is the leading of God's Spirit to us. And the Spirit of God will lead us in the orbit of the written word. Never lose sight of that. Never lose sight of that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God will never contradict the scriptures. Well explained. Take note of that last phrase. Well explained. Hallelujah. Now we now said something. Jesus now told them, you will receive power from on high. Right? You will receive power from on high. Acts Apostle chapter 1 verse 8. Luke 24 verse 49. He said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Till you are endued, till you put on power. And just some minutes ago, we read from Peter. Peter said, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I will say the spirit is within. Right? The spirit is within. So when he says pour out of my spirit, meaning to take of what is within. Right? That is called the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Act 1. To take of what is within upon. Right? Let's open the Bible to Acts 2. Chapter 1, Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. Welcome to today's service. We'll round up, don't worry. We'll finish it. We will finish. Finish it. Okay. So, service time has extended to 7:30. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's continue. Okay, Acts 2, right? Was that what I said? Okay, let's finish.
And no rush. I'm not rushing. I'm not in any rush. Or get home. Acts 2:1. And in the day of Pentecost has fully come. When the day of Pentecost has fully come. I have to shorten the introduction. They were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them a divided tongue out of fire and sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. And they that were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And when they were all amazed, and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of them in our language, writing of each of them in our language, in our dialect, that we were born? Are they not all Jews? Are they not all Jews? Okay, continue. Okay. Hallelujah. Verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? All that mock, saying they were full of wine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, first of all, let's look at some things here critically. Critically. The book of Acts is an eyewitness account. The person I wrote it is Luke. And when most of these things occurred, Luke was not there. Luke joined in Acts chapter 16. That was when Luke joined. You understand me? That was when we got to hear. But before they, now we'll be hearing, and when they were. But from 16, started saying we were. You understand? So what most of what you are reading from Luke will be third party's eyewitness account. So what was told is a reporting account, is writing. It's not there. You understand? But one is reporting what somebody there has said. You understand? Aha. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we are taking it one by each. So when Luke said in that chapter 2, verses 2, he said, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire. Did he see? Did he see it?
No.
Aha.
This guy is spiritual.
He's reporting. He wants to report something to you. Do you understand?
Listen. Luke is about reporting something to you. So when Luke said, that there appeared to them a cloven tongues like of fire, and they were filled, it then means that something was seen and something was heard. Right? They saw something. Those that were there saw something, and they heard something, and people heard something. Do you understand me? That means it was a. Let me put it like this. It was more or less like. It's not like they started seeing fire come from heaven. No. He's reporting something. So, something was seen. That means there was revelation gift in operation, and there were utterance gift in operation. Hallelujah. Because he said they spoke. Hallelujah. So something was seen or something was heard. Now that's what Luke is reporting. Look at chapter 4, verse 31. Something similar to happen. Chapter 4, verse 31. Look at something very similar. Verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaking, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Take note of that. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at chapter 2. What happened to verse 2? From verse 1 to 2. Were they filled with the Holy Ghost? Look at verse 2. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So when they say it filled the whole house, it's not that cloud now came. No. You're about to see something. So you need to follow me. Right? Were they filled with the Holy Ghost here? And here? Uh-huh. So let's continue. Verse 31, right? And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? And they spoke the word of God. Sorry. Verse 31 again. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaking. Take note of that. That is, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, listen to this. When he says the place where they were shaking, now it shows you something, that something was seen and something was heard also. Because he said the place where they were shaking. This does not mean that the foundation began to shake. Remember those days when they would say, shout hallelujah, let the fan shake, let it hit the sea. So the sea, you remember that? See, your hallelujah did not cross this place. Shout hallelujah, let the ceiling shake. Bro, I said that thing, they build a mud house. And if it shake, you go fall. You understand? So you're not just, hallelujah. You still look at the fan is still straight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, something was seen and something was heard. Because I said, the place where the well was filled, listen, the place where the well was filled, right? I mean, the place where the well was shaking, brother. Eh? And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, now, I explained something to us when we were discussing on the topic when the Spirit gets to moving. I said something to us, if you could remember, I said when you see a drunk man, or when you see somebody who is drunk, how would you know the person is drunk? Imagine the person was not carrying a bottle of drink. The way he staggers, right? Right? And maybe something what he says. When he begins to talk, this guy, okay, I'm talking, you are dancing, galala. You understand? You just know. Now, listen. The place where the world was shaking, it's not the building was shaking, no. Something was happening internally. Do you know what I mean? Listen. So something was seen amongst them. Right? Something was seen amongst them. Something was happening within them. Do you understand? When the place where the world was shaking, maybe chairs were hitting up. Do you understand me? Are you getting that? So you can answer that place was shaking. No matter how you pull this place, it's not going to shake. You understand? Because it has foundation. So, many, because it's a third-party report. Because it's a report. You understand? Because we're going to look at how Paul will not explain it. The book of Acts is more or less like an eyewitness account. You can grade it with the four gospels. You understand? It's an eyewitness account. So, now, he now wants to write to you to understand that these guys were filled with the Holy Ghost. So you will use what? You understand? So you understand what really happened. You understand that? Hallelujah. So something was seen amongst them. Something was heard. So you say, these guys are filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. So the place, the shepherd, how many have seen the Holy Ghost meeting before? I shared one of my WhatsApp, Kariska. Right? Was that Kariska? No, that was Believer's Convention. That was 2 years ago, 2016. I shared it. You saw the Holy Ghost meeting, how men were demonstrating, right? That was what you can call the place was shaking. Are you watching Kenny Hagee's Holy Ghost meetings? Right? I used to share those things once in a while. The place was shaking. You understand me? That when you tap, the place was shaking. So something was seen amongst them, something was heard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this, let's not see what it means for one to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Or when you say the Spirit upon, the Spirit coming upon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want to jump to something. We said something earlier that the Spirit upon or to be filled with the Holy Ghost is the same experience, right? Right? It's the same experience, right? And it's different from the indwelling of the Spirit. Right? Is that what we said? We also said that it is not coming from the skies, but from within. Right? Okay. It is called to be filled with the Holy Ghost because it is seen or heard at that moment. It is seen or heard at that moment.
It's seen and you hear something and you see something.
Right?
Because these guys are full of something. Now that was what happened. When those guys saw that these guys drunk, these guys are drunk. Hallelujah. These guys are drunk. Paul is going to help us to understand some things that happened in Acts 2, and we're going to look at it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When he uses that word to be filled, let's look at that word, filled. That word filled, F-I-L-L-E-D. Full of the Holy Ghost, or be filled with the Holy Ghost, is the word pletho. P-L-E-T-H-O, pletho. It means to be full of. To be full of. You find it in Luke chapter 1. Luke 1 verse 41 to 42. It speaks of Elizabeth when he was filled. Look at Luke 1. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Take note of that. When Elizabeth was filled, what happened? She spoke. Hallelujah. Look at verse 57. Now Elizabeth, Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Sorry. Chapter 1, is that what I said? Sorry, chapter 67, not 57, 67. Luke 1:67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, what did Zechariah do? When he was full of the Holy Ghost, he did what? He spoke, he prophesied. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. Look at that word, be filled. That word, be filled. Chapter 2, verse 14. Now, verse 39. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. Now Jesus, and I mean now the child talking about Jesus, grew and became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. If you read down what happened, what did they find him doing? They found him discussing, teaching the teachers of the law. Hallelujah. So Jesus was said to be full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because what? You have been seeing these words. Hallelujah. That word is used in the negative. It's used negatively in Luke 6 verse 11. The exploring Luke. Luke 6 verse 11. But when they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Look at chapter 5 verse 26. So they were filled with rage, and what happened? They discussed what they would do to Jesus. Chapter 5 verse 26. And they were amazed and glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange beatings today." They were filled with fear. They did what? They spoke. Hallelujah. So we will say it is negative because of what we heard from them, right? Right? So when you are, whatever you are filled with, what you should show in your words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Looking at Luke. Okay, let's look at Acts now. Acts 2. Quickly. Verse 4. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and did what? They spoke with tongues, right? Okay, you can just do a tabular format. I'm calling the scriptures you're writing here and you're giving. Do you understand? That's what I have on my notes. I would have told you to do that since. Do you understand what I mean? Just like a tabular format, you're writing the scriptures and you're writing what happened. Hallelujah. Yeah. In chapter 4, verse 8, look at Acts 4, verse 8. It says, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day I now, let's not just go deep. Peter went full of the Holy Ghost. What did he do? He spoke. Chapter 4, verse 31, we just read that, right? They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the word of God with boldness, right? They spoke when they were filled. Acts 9, verse 17. About Paul, into 18. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laid his hands and said to him, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received the sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Verse 19. So he received food, and look at what happened. Verse 20. Immediately he did what? He preached. Hallelujah. Chapter 13, verse 9. He preached. Chapter 13, verse 9. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, looked intently at him and said, O fool of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, you will not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord. Paul, full of the Holy Ghost, did what? Spoke. Right? Right? What did Paul do? He spoke. So, very important. Look at Ephesians. Let's go to the epistles. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verses 19. Okay, verse 18 into 19. It says, and do not be drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. It says, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? It's an instruction, right? Right? And look at verse 19. And it says, speaking to one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, do what? Speaking to one another. So, the being full of the Holy Ghost is seen where? In the speaking. Right? He stands in him spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So, it will be seen in your speaking. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Back to Acts 2, verse 17. Listen to this very well. We're about to make a conclusion. That is why I took us through all this. Acts 2, verse 17. Quickly. We've read that earlier. Verse 17. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall do what? Shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream. They said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So the evidence of the Spirit upon is what? Prophesy. You speak. Right? Right? Hallelujah. So we can conclude by saying that the Spirit upon, when we hear the Spirit upon, or the be filled with the Spirit, right, is what? Utterance at work. You know, the Spirit upon is utterance. Do you understand me? It's speaking. Do you understand me? The Spirit upon is utterance. It's speaking. So if it will be reported that the Spirit came upon them. You see that?
They saw them speaking some rules. So now the person that is to report say, the spirit is upon them. This is that. So in reporting, you say the spirit is upon us. Now the one who is reading will know what is happening. Do you understand me? But what actually was happening was that they were speaking. Did you get that? Did you get that? Aha. So they were speaking in tongues, right? They're speaking in tongues. In fact, Paul is going to help. I don't want to jump. Now they were speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. And the one who is reporting will say, they were full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you explain, when Peter was explaining what happened to them in Cornelius' house, he said the Spirit fell on them as it fell on us. But what was happening, they spoke with us. Hallelujah. But in reporting, you will say what? It fell. Even if it came from heaven, no, they took of what is within. He just explained in chapter 2, right? That I'll pour out of my spirit. Where is it? Where is the spirit? Within. It's not from sky, it's within. Are you following me? Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For example, say one who is drunk with wine, he said to be full of wine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you say he's full of wine. Why? Because of what? His utterance at that moment, right? Get it in his utterance or in his staggering step. Okay? Let's see how the epistles will explain it. I am your vessel, Lord. Say, okay, we did not sing give me the word. I would have said, you say I can give you the word now, but let's continue. Hallelujah. Let's see how the epistles explain it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual. Hey, let's get to 1 Corinthians. So I remembered. 1 Corinthians. So now concerning spiritual. The word gift is italicized, but let's just read it like that. Now concerning spiritual gift. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now when it says, I do not want you to be ignorant, that word ignorant is the Greek word agnoio. Agnoio. A-G-N-O-E-O. Agnoio. A-G-N-O-E-O. Enjoy it while it lasts. That I will be repeating. When we get to GPLR, I will not repeat one word. Because we are going on 12 hours. We will teach for 12 hours. 12 hours, and we now pray. As we are done, we will pray another 12 hours. Father Lord. So I will not repeat because I have a whole lot to complete. You are looking at Pastor Wisdom. He will not be there to help you. Now imagine you are coming back from WCC. You not just sleep, but you just slept small. Because after WCC, you might still go for evangelism. You don't know if they will be evangelism. And slept small and wake up. And GPL, I say, I was not piteous. You know, we just continue. It's the exercise. It's the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, that word agnoheo is a word used for a willful ignorance. A willful ignorance. Like, you just decided to be ignorant. It's willful. Hallelujah. Why did he say concerning spiritual gift? I do not want you to be ignorant. Why did he use the word willful ignorance? Why did he use the word agnoheo? Because in chapter 1 verse 7, he had told them you came behind in no gift. You see that? You came behind, meaning they had, do you know what I mean? You came behind in no gift. In verse 13, he called them spiritual. Do you know what I mean? So that means they are aware, but they are not walking in the light of it. There is no concerning spiritual. You are aware. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to have willful ignorance. Do you understand me? Because they know it, but they are not walking in the light of it. So it's called willful ignorance. Hallelujah. So verse 4 to 6 now tells us, look at verse 4 of chapter 12. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activity, but it's the same God who works all in all.
So he speaks about the gift, the ministries, and the operations in the spirit. Talks to us about the gift, the ministries, and the operations in the spirit. Hallelujah. When you say there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit, that word is the word diversis. It means different of the same. Do you understand? Different of the same, meaning there are different gifts of the same. So those gifts are together. Do you understand? We are teaching concerning spirituals next year from January into April. So we'll look at that. Yeah, January into April, every week. We get concerning spirituals, pneumaticals. January into April. So we'll break this. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll understand it. Hallelujah. So it says different of the same, right? That's what I just said now. Diversities of gifts. Different of the same. It says there are diversities of gifts, verse 5. There are differences in ministries. There are diversities in operation activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Verse 8 to 10, he now says, let's look at verse 7. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The manifestation. Meaning, that word manifestation means, it implies the bestowment. Right? Hallelujah. The giving of the Spirit. Oh, that's the word Shalmarus. I should not write my tongue. Don't worry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's given.
Hallelujah. When I talk about phenerosis, we are going to enter phenerosis. So let's not just go there. And I'm teaching. I'm skipping some to leave it for next week. But I'll be teaching believers meeting.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we still have all of them together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So verse 8 to 10, he now mentions the gift in the spirit. Right? He mentions those gifts in the spirit. He mentioned those gifts in the spirit. And when it says to one, it means to all. That word to one, I've said it. When it says to one, it talks about the faculties. And remember, last two weeks, I said to Ross that you cannot explain God outside Christ. Christology is the main study in Christianity, right? And we said to know God outside Christ is what? Zerology, right? Is to know nothing. You'll just be mixing up things, right? And we said you cannot actually know pneumaticals, the study of the spirit, eschatology, ecclesiology. You cannot study it outside Christology. And I gave an example, right, of the love work, right? You cannot have these studies outside Christology. Meaning the explanation of pneumatology, which is the study of the spirit, which is the concerning spirituals, pneumaticals. You cannot explain pneumaticals, spirituals, outside Christ. You cannot explain charisma outside Christ. Did you get that? You cannot explain charisma outside Christ. You cannot explain the gift of the spirit. Oh, sorry, for those of you, this is not great class. You cannot explain the gift of the spirit outside Christ. In fact, you cannot explain the gift of the Spirit outside Christ and without quoting Moses. You understand? Because when you call it charisma, it means it is there and there. It is in you. Hallelujah. Charisma means what is freely given that is yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you have explained it for Moses in Christology, you will discover that this gift, you know, the people that say you are so Saul is giving gift of tongues. So my own is tongues. You'll not be choosing your own. My own is word of knowledge. No! If you understand Moses, if you understand Moses, you understand the gift of the Spirit. Because we're in the tabernacle, these are what we will still look at during concerning spiritual more detail. When Paul teaches concerning the gift of the Spirit,
You have to follow his sequence. You follow his sequence. You discover that he's, first of all, to understand it, you must look at it from the point of the tabernacle of the temple. Hallelujah. Where the gift are brought in. So the gift are brought into the, it's kept in the temple. Hallelujah. You understand me?
Aha.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So those gifts are in the temple, and whose temple are you?
The temple.
So where is the gift? In the temple. So the gift is not given differently, but in the temple. So since you are the temple of Christ, are you hearing me? The gift of the Spirit is in you, full, complete.
That is how I can explain it now. Hallelujah. So we'll go further next year, January. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Okay, let's go ahead. So we can now say, look at verse 11. It does say, but one and same Spirit works all this, distributing to each one of us as he wills. Who wills? We will. Not the Spirit wills. We've explained it severally. It's as we will. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the things of the Spirit are things of our spirit. Right? Was that what we said? We said that earlier, right? The things of the Spirit are things of our spirit. Why? Because the Spirit is in us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Then in chapter 14, look at what Paul began to do in chapter 14. Paul began to teach us concerning utterance. As Paul is teaching concerning utterance, the background to 1 Corinthians 14 will be Acts 2. Acts 4 will be one of the backgrounds. I am Acts 2, Acts 4 will be one of the backgrounds. Acts 13 will be the background of 1 Corinthians 14. Will be one of the backgrounds. Now let's look at it. Say, pursue love. Okay. It's because of time. I'm just trying to look at it. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. First Corinthians 14. Say, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues. And all speak with tongues. He's explaining Acts 2. And all speaks with tongues. And they come in the uninformed of the unbelievers. Those guys who came there. Will they not say you are out of your mind? Did you see what is happening? Now, when, listen. Remember, they said, they began to say, they spoke in our language, they spoke in our language, cool down, they are. Speaking in tongues, speaking Yoruba, are you okay? Did you remember, Mark? See, they were speaking unknown tongues. I'm using that word, unknown tongues, because of this meeting. Hallelujah. But after January to April, we will not use that word, unknown tongues, in this ministry. We will not use it in word in balance again. Hallelujah. His tongues is our own, it's not unknown to us. Is it unknown to you? Glory to God. It's our tongues. Hallelujah. It's our language. Glory to God. Have you forgotten? He said they will speak with new tongues. With new tongues. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You are sleeping. Just make sure you don't go to DPL. I don't even care about it. You just go and download message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm training you for GPLR. Call you sit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Where were we? Tongues. Hallelujah. So, it was not Yoruba they were speaking. In fact, let me tell you some things we did while we were small. Smaller in age and new in ministry. The one brother one time, I have a small. Say, bro, these tongues you are speaking, do you know it can be somebody's language in China? I say, yeah. He says, see, I don't want to call the brother's name. He says, no, you cannot be speaking in tongues like this. Somebody, you know, it's not be Yoruba you are speaking, but you don't know. I say, bro, no vex. because I just came out from one like about a year before. I used to say, then that was long. None of you will have joined ministry then. That was just no. A week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. We've not started ministry, I'm not sure. But I used to preach. That was that. I went to preach somewhere and I said, do you know what? Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. Jesus spoke in tongues. He said, can't you see? And if you don't understand it, they said, what is he saying? He's calling Elijah. If you don't understand what he was saying, that he spoke in tongues. He spoke in tongues. You know, people are like, yeah, Jesus spoke in tongues. So, as I don't think, he will speak in tongues. They were not like, hey, hello, hello. So we just started talking, we started adding it inside their tongues, inside that same meeting. Hey, la ba 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 ba, hello, hello, la ba sa ba ta ne 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 ne. It just took me. See, let me tell you guys something. It just took me to go back and I read another account. As in, that's why I said I just came out from one. I just read another account, and he said, just by his side, my God, why have you forsaken me? I thought he was speaking in tongues. I was weak. I know the funny thing. Those crowds, I couldn't get them back. did you see how improper teaching can spread? Who knows how many nations those ones have gone to and say hello and Lord. Oh dear Jesus. I was thinking of, you know, while I was in church earlier today, I thought of one, there was something else that I got to say one time. Ah! It was after I was done reading. I said, hey! Ah! You know, I said I was going to post it, but I forgot it. I know I'll remember later. When I go through Google over my notes, I'll remember because I actually jotted it down somewhere. And I'm like, ah! This thing is here. And everybody where I was teaching were jumping. Woo! Ah! I go home, I looked at it again, I say, ah! Hey, yeah. So, you know, but thank God for something. I've told myself right from, you see, those were convictions that I had before joining ministry. If I get to preach something and I see that it's wrong tomorrow, I will come back and say it. I came back to meeting that day. Brother Remy was sitting, Brother Donald was sitting, and I told them, see what I said last week, I was wrong. I told them, I was wrong. This is actually the real thing. Tell us that. Thank God I could see that crowd. More like the car that I've told Eloi, Eloi, Eloi. It's tongues. So funny, right? Just wanted to prove a point. Your zeal. Zeal without studying. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, it's not Yoruba. So, when that brother was telling me that, I thought him, bro, calm down. Listen, let me just show you scripture. I took it to. I was not looking for the place where they write unknown. First of all, enter for two. You see, unknown. Order another tongue. I said, bro, he can't be Yoruba. He said, no, there's this guy that went to pray. He told him he was speaking in tongues. When he was done praying in tongues, Zuma now said, ah, you know you were just blessing me in my language. See the point I said that. I don't know, you said you know this language, I'm calling language, let's say Ibira. You said, I don't know Ibira, you're just blessing me. Thank God, you should not Igbo, maybe in Igbo, that language might be cursed, they will not cut your leg. Ah, you just blessed, and God was like, I wish I would just tell you. Bro, calm down. Did you see the woman? Did you see the woman? You know, some people over on. Let me get this off. I was able to talk that brother off it. And I pray I did to today. Because these days he has begun to listen to some other things. Maybe he might go back. Like a brother I was talking to, he said, I don't know God believes in tongues. Ah ah. Bro, come, all the days you've been tongue in Ungo. Say, I don't believe I'm again. Say, ah. Stay far from me. I just told him, stay far from me. That's the only thing I can say now. Stay far from me. Go far. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that showed what happened there. But sir, they said they spoke our language. Who would you believe? What other people said or what the scripture said? Who would you stand with? The scripture, what the Lord said, right? But we're going to see what they understood shortly. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now take note of the word in that 1 Corinthians 14. It says, verse 23, it says, take note of the word when we all come together. I want us to get two things first before I get here. That 14, right? If I have it here. Okay, look at that chapter 14, verse 26, verse 24. I mean, we're in 23, right? When the whole church come together in one place, they come in uninformed and unbeliever, but they don't say out of your mind. But if all prophesied, and the unbeliever or the uninformed person comes in and is convinced by all and is convicted by all. Now, when you use the word prophesy, when they all prophesy, you need to go back to what? Verse what? You have to go back to verse 5. I wish that all spoke with tongues, but even much more prophesy, for he who prophesy is greater than he who speaks in tongues unless he interprets. So he weighs in interpretation of tongues as what? Prophecy. Do you understand me? He weighs in tongues and interpretation as what? Prophecy. Say, if all prophesy, what happened? We are in verse 24. If all prophesy, what happened? And the unbeliever, the uninformed person comes in, is convinced by all and is convicted by all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He thoughts the secret of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is still among you. How is it then, brethren? When you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. This is what he brings in together. Hallelujah. As that prophecy. Hallelujah. But let's take note. He weighs in tongues and interpretation as prophecy first, right? Now, that means what happened in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. When they began to say, we heard our language and they spoke the wonderful things of God. We showed that in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, they spoke in tongues and they interpreted. Are you hearing me? They spoke in tongues and interpreted. That's why Peter would now say, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Do you understand me? So Peter will call everything prophesy. So Paul will now break it down. Hallelujah. Do you get that? So prophesy. So they spoke in tongues and they interpreted that same place. And that was why they said they spoke the wonderful things of God. Did you get that? Hallelujah. And that will now amount for verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 14 when he said they will say that God is with you. Did you see that? Hallelujah. What brings that interpretation? Hallelujah. So therefore, we can say some things about Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Right? Things were seen. Things were having tongues. They spoke in tongues and they interpreted. Right? So they have both revelation and the utterance gift at work. Right? Okay. So how does this start? Where does this start from? Paul said speaking in tongues. Right? It starts from tongues. Let's begin to round up now. We have gotten to the point of our rounding up. Hallelujah. We're just a few lines away. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We got to the end. So the primary gift. Okay, but before I got there. So look at something again. Verse 23. If the whole church come together in one place. So Paul's emphasis is on what? The church coming together, right? Right? Paul's emphasis is on the church coming together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, Paul said they came together not for the better but for the worse. Meaning our coming together is supposed to be for the better, right?
Yes,
hallelujah. Amen. Our coming together is supposed to be for the better. It's supposed to be for the better. So, but they said that they came for the worst because they were not edifying themselves. We'll get to see much of that during GPLR. So in verse 25 of this 1 Corinthians 14, he says, and thus the secret of his, verse 25. Thus the secret of his heart are revealed. So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly amongst you. Meaning, remember, in verse 24, first of all says, if all prophesy, right? Meaning tongues and interpretation, verse 24. If all prophesy, tongues and interpretation, right? Then verse 25 now says, thus the secret of his heart is revealed. So that means
via the utterance gift. Paul is explaining Acts 2. Via the utterance gift, something is revealed. Because verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 14, he said, if all prophesied, right? And they call me one of the, I mean, the uninformed or the unbeliever, right? He said he's convinced and convicted by all. And thus the secrets, meaning via that prophecy, tongues and interpretation, something is revealed.
Hallelujah. Revelation gift.
Hallelujah.
Something is revealed. So the revelation gift works through the utterance gift.
The revelation gift works through the utterances. We're going to get to see that during pneumaticals, during concerning spiritual. We'll devote a whole month for each of them. Utterance, revelation gift, power gift. We'll look at them one month. I'm trying to see how I can shorten it to April, but normally it's so June. Just keep teaching.
We'll explain pneumaticals.
How will that be the beginning of that series? Pneumaticals. Concerning spiritual. Concerning pneumaticals. But I know it will be long. Very long.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, listen to this. In verse 26. Remember, our coming together is all the better. How is it then, brethren? When we come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Meaning, our coming together is to get us better. Now, what is revealed, what is said, is for edification. It's for what? Edification. To get us better. To get better. To get better. We get better, we get improved upon.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the spirit upon, listen, the spirit upon is utterance.
Hallelujah.
Is utterance. And via utterance comes revelation, something is revealed.
Hallelujah.
Via utterance comes revelation gift. Something is revealed. So we're going to set out in tongues and something is revealed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Tongues, prophecy. Which is tongues and interpretation. Now meaning that what you spoke out in tongues, you can give out the interpretation. That interpretation can be, from that interpretation you can have revelation, something revealed.
Hallelujah.
We can also receive direction from that tongues and interpretation. We can receive direction via utterance gift. That's why we say when we come together, we are better, we are improved upon.
Hallelujah.
I can receive direction via utterance gift. We come together, an utterance is given, and I have a direction for what next to do. You can have direction.
Hallelujah.
Something is revealed.
Hallelujah.
Go back to First Corinthians chapter 12. When Paul said, word of wisdom, word of knowledge.
Hallelujah. That is revelation gift, right? Right?
Hallelujah. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirit.
Hallelujah.
Discernment of spirit. Something is revealed. Something is revealed. You have counsel of what to do.
Hallelujah.
We can get direction.
Hallelujah.
The spirit can lead us via utterance. You know what to do next via utterance.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let us get on speaking in tongues and something will be revealed. So the man in Christ is not disadvantaged. No. No.
Hallelujah.
He's not disadvantaged. Glory to God. He's not disadvantaged. You can speak in tongues and speak out your tongues.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
So you see, we cannot be confused as believers. You cannot be a believer. Either I'm confused. Let that, delete that from your vocab. You cannot be confused. No. Hallelujah. You can't. You can't. You can know what the Spirit needs you to do part time. Hallelujah. Much more when we come together like this. Much more when we come together like what is primary in our meeting is all transgift. Glory to God. It's all transgift. Hallelujah. It's all transgift. So, the Spirit of God is utterance. I mean, the Spirit of God upon is utterance. Never lose sight of that. It's utterance. The Spirit of God upon is utterance. It's utterance. I remember 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, I called it the demonstration of the Spirit within, right? The demonstration of the Spirit within, right? It's the Spirit upon. Hallelujah. That is to take up what you have within upon. You make. Hallelujah. He's seen. Hallelujah. In what you see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Where the Spirit fell upon them. So, in that utterance, you will have activities. We'll get to look at those activities from next week. Hallelujah. You have activities, sure. You have activities. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's speak it out. Let's not spend time speaking it out. Let's speak it out. Just speak in tongues. Just speak in tongues.